I think they like you, Steve.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Hi, happy Monday, 6/11. Beautiful day. This is the third straight beautiful day. After the rains that came and we thought we'd never leave. Everybody have a nice weekend. Dave, how was your weekend?
I had a very nice weekend, Steve.
That's
Thank
great.
You.
Mary Sandberg, how was your weekend?
I loved my weekend.
Oh, that's fantastic. How about you, Justin? How was your weekend?
Top notch. Steve, how was yours?
We don't have time for that. We never have time for that.
That's my goal for this week is turn the tables on Steve Cochran. Find out more about him.
Joe, Pete, you guys okay? Just flip me off. That way I'll know you're okay since I can't hear you. Okay. I was supposed to play in a golf tournament for old guys this weekend, the White Eagle Club Senior Championship, and I had to withdraw because of my torn meniscus.
Oh, no.
What age defines senior?
50. No, 50, maybe 55. Okay. It's one of those two. It might be 55.
They're just kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you tried.
So I just went outside and went, wow, it's really beautiful. Great day to play golf, but I couldn't play golf.
So you tried to swing?
Yeah, I went to the range.
Oh man!
Sorry, man.
Yeah. Is it pain when you swing? Or
it's like tiny people are stabbing me in the knee.
That's no good.
Yeah. Now, some of you may say this is a first world problem, and the world has real problems. I say, dude, does it really?
No,
does
I'm with you. A torn meniscus is second world problem.
Yeah,
between first and third.
For the rest of us too, we're all feeling the effects of your torn meniscus because when you can't play golf,
cranky.
Oh no!
Yeah, it affects us all.
Little cranky. Little people stabbing us in the ears.
How was your weekend, Steve?
My weekend was wonderful. I had a great weekend.
What'd you do? Did you have fun?
I did.
Did you get out there, have a good time, Steve?
I did. I went to a pride party up in my neck of the woods because the big parade is up there.
Yeah.
Was celebrating a growing of grass in my yard. It was a beautiful weekend.
Anybody notice there's a lot of gay people at Pride Parade?
Yeah. A few.
And there's a lot of people who aren't gay at Pride Parade, too.
Okay. That's the beauty.
Yeah.
Okay, well, first part would be the joke. The second part would be the thing that I didn't need to hear. You want to kill some more punchlines, shoot me a note, will you? Jen's in for Marius.
Jen, that's my job.
Oh, man.
I'm the punchline killer.
So I was in the parade yesterday and then stayed till the end to watch every single float. It just gave me a little bit of a leeway today. I'm working very slowly.
Oh, because you're tired?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but it was a lot of fun.
You'll be all right. Suck it up. People have real jobs, I'm told.
Oh.
And this isn't one of them.
No.
This is not one of them. All right, so here's why Jen's in. Jen's in because Mary Vandeveld lost her mom this weekend. Yeah. And that was one spitfire of a lady. And, you know, 94 years old. I thought about you, Dave, with your dad in your 90s, John DeCosta's dad in your 90s. Mm-hmm. You go, it doesn't matter how old they are. You never want them to leave.
Absolutely not. And I just met Mary's mom at the Walk of Fame.
Yeah, spitfire.
She was great.
Yeah.
She was great.
When Mary's dad died, I think it was 4 years ago now, at the service prior to the funeral, she stood up for, I would say, a line just when I was there that was an hour and a half long, greeted everybody. So, you know, it's just a sad story. So Mary's going to be out for a couple days. Jen, nice to have you here.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
The best thing about Harriet is she was on with us this Mother's Day, but last Mother's Day, she hung up on you because she had to get to a card game at her home. So she was on the air with us, Jen, and then she just hung up. She had had enough
of us.
She
didn't have that kind of time.
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't have time for your nonsense.
Yeah, priority
fantastic.
Straight, right.
Fortunately, and I say this because I know Mary's close to her family, big family. And I think when you lose, you know, your mom or dad, big family helps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the odds are better, right? The odds are better. If you just got one or two, maybe you're not getting along with a one or two. You got 9 or 10 or 12, there's a pretty good chance you're going to be able to bond with a couple of them.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, we're going to let Mary talk about her mom later this week when she comes back. And we're just thinking about her and thinking about her family. 6:15. We'll get to the top six. Everything you need to know to start your day as far as we're concerned, coming up in just a moment. And plenty to talk about today. Another busy weekend of America fighting with each other.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks. With the top 666, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
All right, six things to start your day, and it's 6:20 right now, so make a note of the following. The Pride Parade is almost complete. They're winding down now. The dancing and singing is continuing. Let's go live to Justin on somebody's float.
How That's right.
Go?
I was on the WGN radio float. Mm-hmm. First time. Usually, like many of my coworkers, I will walk alongside. But I was with Miles, and about halfway through, he's like, can we get up on the float? This walking is for the birds.
In the past, that's been like a contentious situation. They don't let everyone
limited space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
if you bring a kid.
Exactly. They let you bring a kid, you can kind of squeeze your way on there, which was fun. But it's also hard because you got to get in the moment, Steve. You got to get in the moment. You hear those beats.
I've done the Pride Parade many times.
Hear those beats. You want to get down, so when you're going by, people are cheering for you.
What was the BEZ float like? Was it basically
There never was one.
Why weren't you guys in the
Pride Parade? I don't know. At one point or another, they tried to organize, but nobody came out. So they just looked pathetic.
Well, that seems like BEZ.
They might be in it now. I don't know.
It seems like BEZ would have been a leader in that.
Yeah, but I don't know what it was. Parades were not their thing.
God, you got out of that place.
Parades were not their thing. I came here, and it's all about parades.
Yes.
Parades and glitter and confetti and having fun.
That's what we're talking about.
If you go to the WGN Radio Instagram, you can watch the story of the parade. So.
I will say this. The one takeaway is that Sidetrack, which is a very prominent gay bar, they were two or three floats up, and they had the dancing guys in Speedos, right? That was the big one. And they had a confetti.
Did you like my moves?
I really liked that one. It was a very colorful float.
Yeah. It was very nice.
But they had a confetti cannon that they would shoot up in the air every block or so that would just make it such a parade. Like it was, you were watching the Cubs win a world championship. And all I could think about was, what a pain in the butt it's going to be to clean this up.
I like, tells you how old you are now.
It really was. Every time they did it, it was like the whole crowd would go crazy, and I'm like, oh, man.
Somebody's got to sweep
this up. They're gonna hit this area at 3:30 in the afternoon, streets and sand. They're going to be like, what is all this?
Can't we shoot it once? Isn't it once enough?
As a general rule, though, you can never have too much glitter or confetti on Pride Sunday.
I guess.
Well, that's true.
I just say keep it within your body area. Don't spread it all over, you know, Halstead Street. That's my thought.
All right. Well, good. You'll have more lemonade on the porch with your grumpy old man moments.
That's right. And I'll tell you another thing about these Speedos today.
Keep your Speedo out of my yard. Say goodbye now. You're after ending your report.
I'm done. Signing off from the Gay Pride Parade, Justin Kaufman, WGN Radio.
Yeah, there you go. Solid. Next. The ugly dog contest is this weekend. I have a stance against this contest because to me all dogs are cute. Zsa Zsa won. Zsa Zsa is a bulldog of some sort and won the ugly dog contest. The reason I say this is twofold. One is I needed to fill this slot, and two is because you're going to see this all over TV news all day because they have to fill stuff.
Yeah. And the best way we can describe this dog is it looks like the Tasmanian devil from the Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Maybe I'm wrong about the cute thing. It could be. It's possible. Next! Voters granted President Recep Tayyip Erdogan vastly expanded authority over the legislature and judiciary, as Erdogan claimed he won the Turkish election. You might remember at times, I don't know, 5-10 years ago, where Turkey was our number one ally in the Middle East and could be counted on as a democracy, at least much more democratic than it is now. Erdogan getting expanded authority means he took it. It's a tough situation, and the embrace of Donald Trump of Erdogan is an embrace of another tough guy, and not necessarily in our best interest.
I still don't know, and they kind of settled it out of court, but when he came to the U.S. to go to Washington, his security detail roughed up a bunch of protesters on American soil.
Yeah.
Turkish security detail beat up American protesters.
As he stood in the window and watched.
Yeah, and they laughed about it. They loved it. And somewhere along the line, the State Department plead that out, or they let it go, or they made a deal where they essentially look the other way.
I'm telling you got to watch this guy. You have to watch this guy. He is very much ready to go in regards to a tribal war in Turkey. It's not good. Not good. Next. One other political note. Sam McCann is going to challenge the governor. This is State Rep
Sam
McCann.
Deal.
He's going to challenge Governor Rauner as a Republican. We'll see where that goes. Over the weekend, a 15-year-old migrant boy walked out of a large shelter in Texas and disappeared. The operator of the center said it's not allowed to restrain children who want to leave. The whereabouts of the kid, now known to be somewhere in Mexico, trying to reunite with his Honduran parents. But there again, this goes to show that we have a lot of reasons to be concerned about these kids, not the least of which is they can just wander off.
Unbelievable.
15-year-old that doesn't speak any English just wanders out of a shelter and somehow is, you know, in the middle of Mexico now.
I want to know how that went down at the door, if the people at the shelter are like, go! I dare see if you can make it on your own. Like,
well, the parent move.
Yeah, they said that they can't restrain kids that don't want to be there, but they can take them away and put them there in the first place. Right. It doesn't really add up.
Next, 54-year-old Brigitte Nielsen had a baby on Friday, Frida. It's her first daughter, her fifth child. What do we know about this? Anything?
She's
is this natural childbirth?
A bad A. Natural childbirth. So she's.
And she didn't have any of the complications you'd be concerned about?
I mean, not that we know of. So she seems like a very healthy person.
But 54 is still an anomaly.
Yeah, that's not. She's setting the bar high there.
Who's the father? Do we know who the father is?
Yeah, it's her husband. I don't know his name.
Who's she married? Dave, do you know?
Didn't she used to be married to Mark Gastineau with the Jets?
I think she was, yeah.
Okay.
Was she married to Sylvester Stallone? Huh?
That is the best name poll of the week so far.
How about that name?
Yeah, we only been on the air 26 minutes.
But still, that's a strong bar. That's a high bar to get through, yeah.
Was she married to Sylvester Stallone, or are they just living together?
That's who I think of when I think Brigitte Nielsen. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Joe?
I just know the Flava Flav.
Oh, right.
Connection.
Oh, that's right. She was hooked up with Flava Flav for a while.
His name is Mattea Desi.
Oh, yeah, sure. The Desi
guy. Mattea Desi.
Yeah, sure. Got it. Totally. And I like this story. Saudi drivers on the roads this morning are looking around and going, well, that seems odd. Women have finally been granted the right to drive in Saudi Arabia. Took the roads legally yesterday for the first time in the kingdom's history. Welcome to the new world.
I don't know who our Saudi experts are, but it's a select group of Saudi women. Am I not?
Right.
Am I mistaken?
Yes, and you had to like time it so that you had your driver's license when the clock struck midnight to be able to go drive.
You have to qualify too.
Yeah, but they interviewed
You have to go at least 56 miles an hour.
Right. A lot of these women that were interviewed have been other places like the United States, so they've driven before, but they haven't been able to drive at home, and so it's pretty cool.
I can't imagine Saudi women going abroad and then coming home.
I know.
Right? It's got to be very difficult.
You got to really love your family.
Top six is now complete, big voice guy.
That's all today for the Top Six at Six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Morse right now. Dr.
Kevin Most. I'm obviously choked up. I get that way whenever he's in. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
All right. How are you?
I'm good. Do you like your new digs?
It's beautiful. When are you going to come see it?
Yeah, I got to get down there one of these days.
Don't you have to come to the city multiple times from the beautiful Central DuPage Hospital location where you are most of the time? Don't you have to come down all the time for meetings that you don't pay attention to?
You know, the beauty of video conferencing is phenomenal. So, you know, those one-hour meetings that you'd have to go downtown for before that took you essentially the entire day, now we can sit in a beautiful conference room and still have face-to-face interaction with people downtown. So it's great.
What if we could video conference this show?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll think about
Skype.
It. Yeah, we'll think about it. Let's talk about vitamin D. What does vitamin D have to do with the summertime?
Yeah, it's kind of unusual that we're talking about vitamin D, right? We usually talk about it in the winter because we don't get enough sun exposure. But in the summer, why would we talk about vitamin D? And, you know, a couple of studies came out that I think are interesting. And I think it's just good to inform everybody and make sure that they know that you probably need a vitamin D supplement.
Hey, Kevin writes prep for us, you know, for the show all
the
time.
He writes amazing notes.
He does, and it's always posted at WGNradio.com after the segment. But a funny thing he put in the prep about this is he said, vitamin D is a good topic for a trivia question at a cocktail party. So I think that's Dr.
You are a wild man.
Dr. Humor there. That
Well, it is. It's kind of interesting, right? We call it vitamin D, but it's actually not a vitamin. So that's the trivia. Wait a minute.
What does that mean?
Well, and really, for a vitamin, by true definition,
yes,
it's essentially something that we need for growth that we need in our diet because the body can't make it itself.
Oh.
So it's something that we must take in order to grow and in order to survive, but we can't make it ourselves. When in fact, we make vitamin D ourselves by hormones that are produced in the kidney that then when they get to the skin and they get exposed to sunlight, become vitamin D.
So we can't make it ourselves. Trust me, I took notes. We can't make it ourselves in proper quantities as we age. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Ah.
Yep. So we can't make enough of it really to get the optimum benefit of vitamin D. You can't make enough. Now, people that live at the equator and don't wear sunblock, certainly they can make it and can get enough. But up here in the northern hemisphere, we certainly can. As a matter of fact, estimates in the United States are that somewhere between 40 and 50% of all of us are deficient in vitamin D.
Well, Dave is. I mean, you look at Dave and you go, how about some vitamin D?
Well, I don't know if you have that reaction, but when I had my annual physical last year, when my blood work came back, the one thing that I was deficient in was vitamin D, and the doctor prescribed a daily supplement for me, which, of course, I started to take and then stopped taking it. And when I had my physical this year, he said, well, you still need it. So now I take, I think it's like 2 units per day.
Is this a prescription or an over-the-counter?
No, it's just over-the-counter. It's...
See, this is where Dave and I are different. 2 years ago at my physical, they said you need to start taking vitamin D, and I've taken it every single day since.
Well, you don't break the rules.
No, I don't break the rules.
Here's the thing, Doc. I have a theory, and you can tell me if I'm nuts. When we were kids, Doc, you and I and Dave and older people, we drank a lot of milk.
Yeah.
We drank a lot of milk. Milk was the thing, baby. Everybody drank milk. You drank milk in the morning. You drank milk at night. You drank milk at school. And it wasn't this skim milk, 1%, 2% milk. It was whole American milk from American cows. Kids don't drink milk like they used to.
Yeah. I mean, two interesting things there. One is milk consumption has plummeted in the last 30, 40 years. Matter of fact, we're drinking about 40% less milk today than we did in the 70s. And you say, well, why is that? Well, unfortunately, carbonated beverages and juices have come up, but also almond milk, soy milk, rice milk, coconut milk, all of those have come into the market, and you saw the consumption of regular whole milk, cow milk, decrease dramatically.
It's bad news for the cows, but, Doc, just as a tip, and I don't know if you've ever heard Orion, never mention almond and the word milk together.
Yeah.
He'll tell you that it's not milk.
Yeah.
So, Doc, we learn more about the sun and its effect on our skin cancer, and you have so many different people who have determined that they're going to do everything they can to block the sun from their skin. I'm one included, as I've got my dome on the top that I spend as much time as possible making sure I don't get enough sunlight. Is this going to become epidemic-type proportions where no one is getting vitamin D because we are protecting ourselves from the sun?
Well, it is kind of interesting, and the big thing about that is what you said, is when we all grew up, we never used sunblock, right?
No.
Justin, did you use sunblock?
No, we put butter on.
Exactly. Now we put it on, is if you're wearing an SPF of 20 or higher, you're blocking a lot of the sunlight that we need for vitamin D. So couple that with decreases consumption of milk, and you start to see why we're doing it. And it's very difficult to get vitamin D in your diet. There's not a lot of great sources for vitamin D.
Interesting.
And that's one of the reasons in the 30s. I mean, in the early 20s, we had a lot of cases of rickets, so essentially soft bones or bad bone development disease. The federal government came in and said, we need to fortify specific meals or specific foods that we know kids are going to eat that's going to help them get enough vitamin D to support their bone growth. So that's why it's in milk. That's why it's in breakfast cereals. That's why it's in orange juice.
But we know that breast milk is the healthiest thing a baby can have. So at some point, the baby stops breastfeeding, and then we're gradually weaning kids off milk. It just seems like we're missing something.
Well, there's two things there, Steve. You know, breast milk has very, very, very little, if any, vitamin D in it. You have to remember that the milk that we get from cows is not because of the milk. It's because we have fortified that milk with vitamin D. We placed vitamin D in there. That being said, breastfeeding is so important early on in childhood, in the infancy there. They're getting antibodies from the mother. They're getting nutrients there. That's very important. But even those kids are going to need a little supplemental vitamin D, because we don't want those very young ones to get their vitamin D exposure from sun.
What's the downside to not having enough vitamin D? I mean, we should be worried about Dave, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would. You know, Dave just has to realize that there's not a lot of vitamin D in kale.
How about none?
Dave is actually doing the right thing. Well, he said he takes two. He's probably taking 2,000 international units a day.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm taking, 2,000.
And I do use a lot of sunblock, so it does kind of make sense.
Mm. Because and you don't drink milk.
And I don't drink milk.
Mm-hmm.
Doc, does you just see a future where people are all taking supplements for this, or is there a way that they can do, not unlike when you just talked about milk, the idea of fortifying or placing vitamin D in other types of foods or other things that we consume?
Yeah, Justin, I really think, you know, and the more studies that are coming out right now are showing us the importance of vitamin D. We have a bunch of things that are going. We have a decreased consumption of milk. We have kids doing less outdoor activities. We have people wearing more and more sunblock, which is good. Believe me, I'm all for sunblock. We can get the vitamin D a different way. But we all need awareness for this. If we went back 20 years, 15 years even, doctors rarely did vitamin D levels when you came in. But now, as Dave said, look, two of his last physicals, the doctor has checked his vitamin D level. He's concerned about bone development, bone retention and strength, because as we age, our bones weaken, we get hip fractures, and bad things happen.
I have a pair of Pavilion tickets to see the CSO do Beethoven's Ninth at Ravinia, Saturday, July 14th. You can visit the Refresh Dining Pavilion, two brand-new restaurants for 2018. Tickets for the entire season at Ravinia.org. Doc, here's what we'll do. First correct caller, starting with caller 7, that can tell us the healthy seafood that eclipses milk in vitamin D. Fourfold. Four times more vitamin D in this healthy seafood than there is in a glass of milk. How about that?
Perfect.
And we'll come back with that answer and more on Dr. Kevin Most, and we'll find out how your bones are doing in just a second. Dr. Kevin Most talking about sun and talking about vitamin D. And 708 texter Doc says, how does vitamin D affect the absorption of calcium?
It is. That's very important. I mean, vitamin D and calcium work hand in hand to be absorbed into the body, and that's what keeps our balance with our bone strength here. What we need to understand is that bones are changing all of the time. So not only do we need calcium, we need vitamin D so that calcium can be absorbed. And so as long as we continue with those two components, calcium and vitamin D, we end up having great bone strength. So walking and staying on your active keeps your bones strength strong there. And then if you don't use your bones and you sit around, now I don't need the calcium, now I don't need the vitamin D, and now we get weakened bone strength. So it's a great question, but vitamin D and calcium in conjunction is how it gets absorbed.
Texter says, my 17-month-old son has a milk allergy, can't have milk. Vitamin D drops, are they enough to supplement his diet and lack of vitamin D? Because obviously you put sunblock on him.
It depends, because if they're using one of the plant-based milks, like almond milk, sorry, Orion, those are often fortified with vitamin D as well. But having vitamin D in their diet, whether it's there or whether it's in a supplement, is very important for someone that young, as they are, you know, really are building their bones at this time.
You know, we've talked about vitamins various times on the show, and the concern is that, you know, you pee out most of it. To use a technical medical term.
Dr. Cochran, have you met Dr. Most?
Yes, exactly. We had this seminar in school that we shared together, peeing out the vitamins. Point being, how do you avoid doing that with vitamin D, and do you have to take more to get what you need?
So it's interesting you say that, because the vitamins that you're talking about, the B vitamins, vitamin C, those are the ones that we do pee out if we have too much of them.
It's funny to hear you say it.
I know, I had to. Vitamins D, E, A, and K are fat soluble, so they're actually stored in the body. So we actually can hold on to those. Now, can you overdose on vitamin D? Absolutely, but you need to take a whole heck of a lot. And as a matter of fact, Dave, you had your blood test done for vitamin D, and we have what we call a normal range.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a huge study just came out on colon cancer and how much vitamin D we need to be protective for colon cancer. Well, the normal levels of vitamin D right now are built on bone strength, and how do we maintain bone strength? So we might even see that vitamin D normal level go up as we start to see how important it is for protection against colon cancer and our immune system and other major health issues.
The Starbucks addicted culture we live in, can that take care of some of this?
It can, and I think we probably should do. Maybe we'll do it next week. We'll talk about coffee and the great benefits coffee has, because that's kind of interesting as well. Can you get enough vitamin D in your whatever those $8 super latte things are? Probably not. So, I still think you're going to need a supplement there, because they're not putting that much. I mean, one cup of milk only has 110 international units. Where we're looking at, dietary income or dietary intake, most of us are going to tell you take 2,000 during the summer and double that, maybe even triple that in the winter.
I just came up with a brand new idea, $1.99 for a vitamin D supplement, a booster shot at the Starbucks. Say you get your latte, and if you want
add your vitamin D.
Exactly. Any juice bar is going to offer you boosts. Why not?
Let's get to the $11 mark on a latte.
Brian is on the phone, and I just disconnected Dr. Most.
Hey, how you doing?
We're going to have to get Dr. Most back on to wrap this up. But we will, in the meantime, Brian, ask you for the answer. Which type of healthy seafood has four times the vitamin D that milk has in a cup?
Salmon.
Salmon is right.
That's right.
450 international units and 3 ounces of salmon. That's a tiny little piece of salmon.
That is, and that's probably a right portion as
That's right. Ben Brian from Johnsburg. Johnsburg, great town.
Yes, of course. What you said.
I went to. I live in Water Lake, right next to Johnsburg. So
a lot of cows
there
out there.
Johnsburg represent.
Four times the amount of vitamin. Anyway, you are a winner. Brian, congratulations. You're going to enjoy Beethoven's Ninth. We couldn't get Beethoven, so the CSO is going to do it.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
All right, man. Wake up. Wake up, Brian. By the way, another caller asked the difference, and we'll get Doc's answer on this because he's actually the doctor. Let me get back here before. I'm glad to see we haven't changed our magic phone system. Dr. Kevin Most, the difference between vitamin D1 and D2.
Well, there's a bunch of different vitamin Ds. So really, the most important thing is that you just take any one of them in the supplement. But, it's a different cholesterol-based, essentially, hormone that we're taking. So not a big difference there. There's D1, there's D2, there's D3, not like Division III football and Division II football. But there are three different kinds of vitamin D. So very important that you just get a good base vitamin D. It's not going to make a huge difference.
Anybody else? Last word before I wrap this up.
So, Doc, once women tend to suffer from osteoporosis more than men. If your bones are already in the decline, can you build them up if you're at a deficiency ahead of time, or are you just always at a lack?
No, you absolutely can build them up. You can build them up with vitamin D and calcium supplements. So we'll make sure that we get enough calcium in there. And then use of them, exercise, maintaining, walking, anything that's going to do weight bearing there. So you absolutely can strengthen your bones as you age. It doesn't say you get to a point of osteoporosis, because bones turn over all the time. They're reabsorbing calcium. They're laying more calcium down. The matrix is there. It's just putting the strength in there. And the body is going to do it as we need it. Women, because of hormonal reasons, will lose more and have weaker bones. So it's really important for them to have vitamin D and calcium in their diet.
In the 2 years I've been taking the supplement, my nails are so thick now. That has been an awesome side effect besides my bones
so
being healthy.
You have healthier nails than you've ever had.
Oh, I do. They're the strongest they've ever been.
And it's not just that as well, because there's benefits to fight colon cancer. There's benefits when it comes to the immune system and heart disease. MS, even depression. Anyway, all of these notes are posted with the podcast from Dr. Kevin Most every Monday. And, Doc, thank you for the information and try to keep us healthy.
Thanks, Doc.
You got it.
Thank you,
we'll
Doc.
Talk to you soon.
All right, hold on, my friend. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, as always. And it's news time right now. Northwestern Medicine, by the way, the pursuit of better health care starts here. You can win a 2018 Chevy Silverado. For details, listen, because at 7:20, we're not just going to talk about the Silverado. We're also going to give you a chance to win fabulous passes for the Blackhawks convention coming up in just a few weeks. Awesome. Right off the draft this weekend.
Can you believe that?
It's crazy.
I got it. I'm patched in.
All right, let me hear it.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
We're locked. Systems check out. Signal across the board. What's the frequency?
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
So I made a mistake last night of having a TV on about 9. So I try to go to bed by 9 o'clock because I'm wild like that. And Back to the Future was on.
Oh, yeah. Classic.
And I had to watch it. I watched all of Back to the Future, a movie I've seen 79 times.
John Mulaney's new stand-up special, he's got a great line about, no one explains why McFly and Doc Brown are friends.
Yeah, his creepy best friend. His best friend is a creepy professor who keeps to himself.
Imagine that Hollywood pitch.
Oh, and he goes backwards in time and his mother tries to sleep with him. Yeah, let's make that movie. But it's great. It's great. It reminds you how great Michael J. Fox was. That was the upside of the weekend, which, at least politically, was a lot of negative again. And, you know, poor Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She just wanted to go to dinner.
Yeah.
And Sarah Huckabee Sanders went to a restaurant in Virginia called the Red Hen.
I think it's the Red Hen Restaurant.
The Red Hen Restaurant. All right. Now, the Red Hen Restaurant is run by a woman who considers herself to be liberal in her political views, which obviously she's entitled to be. So at some point in the kitchen, there was enough kvetching. And people saying, why is she in here? Why are we even serving
her?
She
had a big party, too.
She did have a big party. And what happened was the owner of the restaurant convened a vote. Very democratic. Got her people together and said, all right, show of hands. How many of you want me to ask her to leave? She then politely took, and Sarah Huckabee Sanders admits this, took Sarah Huckabee Sanders politely aside. I think brought her out into a deck of some sort or outside. And said, I don't share your views, and I don't respect the stance that you've taken in support of the president, and I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
Yeah.
So, Sarah Huckabee Sanders left, and that was all you heard of it.
Yeah.
Not quite.
Not quite. The president's...
Not quite. Sarah Huckabee Sanders went and on her government Twitter account, named the restaurant, named the location of the restaurant, which is an incredibly unethical thing to do. It's also dangerous, because you can get some Trump nut to go over there and cause real problems for her. So the president this morning scolded Sarah Huckabee Sanders and took the high road.
That's right.
Not quite. Justin, what's the president's tweet?
6:41 a.m., Donald J. Trump tweeted, the Red Hen restaurant should focus more on cleaning its filthy canopies, doors, and windows, parentheses, badly needs a paint job, rather than refusing to serve a fine person like Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I always had a rule, if a restaurant is dirty on the outside, it's dirty on the inside.
It's funny. I say the same thing about my presidents. Yeah, I feel the same way.
That's a strong Yelp review right there.
It's an unbelievably irresponsible thing for this unbelievably irresponsible president to do.
It's one thing. Here's the thing. I would say that this country's divided 50-50, but on this story, I'll bet you it's more like 70-30, where even liberals and Democrats and people on the left realize it's probably wrong to not serve Sarah Huckabee Sanders. We get into really murky, complicated territory when you start kicking people out of restaurants based on your political views.
Well,
you start
to get,
this country has a long history of kicking people out for things that don't have to do with food.
Right, but it's not new to either to Sarah Huckabee Sanders. When the last administration was in office, it happened all the time. One of the bigger ones is when Vice President Biden was kicked out of a bakery in Virginia.
And either way, it's wrong. I don't think that we should be doing that. I think the country should be bigger than that, especially when it comes to money.
I don't disagree with that in the big picture. However, the bakery, the Supreme Court decision that just came down that said businesses don't have to serve anybody they don't want to serve.
That's true.
Okay, so you can't, as a Trump supporter and a Republican, say, this is horrific. This is so terrible. When, in fact, Sarah Huckabee Sanders stood up at the podium and did her job, which was to defend the president in a Supreme Court decision that said any business can decide not to serve you if they choose to do so. They didn't say in all cases, but certainly in the case of this.
Well, that had to do with religion, right. But I do agree. You can make the argument. You're absolutely right in the sense that if you're going to be hypocritical politically, but beyond politics, I just feel as a country, which you should leave your politics at the door. If you want to get a chicken marsala, I don't think that what your stance is on immigration should have any effect on that chicken marsala. That's my point. And I think a lot of people would agree with...
Well, I don't disagree with it, but I'm saying you can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. You can't say a gay person can't get the cake, but Sarah Huckabee Sanders gets to eat dinner. Agreed. Now, having said that, there's a larger problem the Democrats have. And that's, is it okay to create enough noise that wakes up the 60% of the country that's actually against Trump and actually gets people to do something?
Yes.
Or are you making it worse by lowering yourself to that level?
I think you may be right. You're onto something, because I think that it automatically turns a lot of people off that your stringent political view on either side would dictate how you live your life or how you run your business.
You look at
both sides.
Take it to the more extreme level. You look at what Robert De Niro did at the Tonys.
Yes.
F. Trump? There's no upside to F.
No
Trump.
Upside.
There's nothing positive that comes out of that. An insane thing that Peter Fonda said. Peter Fonda attacking Barron Trump? Are you kidding me?
Right.
So how are you going to, if you concede the part that you're never going to convince the 35% that are always going to be there for Trump, how do you get the 20 to 25 to 30% in the middle to get active and get off their collective butts and go vote? I don't think F. Trump and Peter Fonda, or maybe even this restaurant, are the way to do it.
And maybe this restaurant's, that's not her intent. I mean, maybe she is part of the 35% on the left, and she doesn't care what happens in the middle. She just wants to stick by her values and her, or what political creed she lives by. The president today doing this strange, you hurt my people, so I'm going to give you a bad review, and
that's
I'm going to hint at the fact that your product is inferior and it's dirty. I don't even know what to say. There has to be some violation. There's many violations.
Well, but see, that's the thing. That's a direct ethical violation by Sarah Huckabee Sanders. This is obviously an ethical violation. Tweeting out that it's an ethical violation doesn't change anything. He doesn't care.
He doesn't
care about any of it. When is somebody going to take a stance? This is where the cowards like Mitch McConnell have to stand up and say, Mr. President, it is completely out of line. But Mitch McConnell, once again, has a terrible case of laryngitis and can't be heard from. Paul Ryan, still the Speaker of the House, can't be heard from.
Right.
But if the Democrats think they're winning this by being as jerky as Donald Trump is, I think it's a big mistake.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I just wonder on this tweet, though, and you're right, every time he tweets something out like this that is outlandish and over the line and really adds gasoline to the fire in our society, there's no repercussion. I want to say, oh, that can't be. Someone's got to take this back. Someone's got to get, someone better step in on this red hen tweet. It never happens.
No.
And this thing continues.
The thing today, this has to be slander on his part. I mean,
slander, that's
it. It's absolutely a legal issue now, right? I mean,
well, you can't sue the president.
Well, after he's out of office, you can.
Yeah. Well, okay. Who's going to pay attention then? The point is, you know, if you're going to get something out of it, you get something out of it now. My hope would be the president saying that will increase her business because people will go, I'm going to go there. And by the way, since when does a guy who doesn't have time to talk to Bob Mueller have time to check out paint jobs in restaurants in Virginia?
I guarantee the late night talk shows tonight will do the bit of him going restaurant to restaurant.
Don't like your food.
So ridiculous.
Your chicken is overcooked.
Well, right now the Yelp reviews are overwhelmingly negative on this restaurant's website.
At this point, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't live on Yelp.
But I wonder, you know, if there is suing Donald Trump is like him chewing gum. He doesn't care.
No, he doesn't care. He's been sued thousands of times. Literally thousands of times.
This is just, I think it's an immoral tweet.
Steve's in Genoa. Steve, what do you want to say?
I have to agree that, so the person's restaurant who refused, she had to know, they had to know what was going to happen. But that's, you know, if you go to, it's like a regular person. If I go somewhere and you refuse to serve me for whatever, I'm going to tell everybody I know. Okay? So they had expected. So I can't really disagree with what he did, even though they had to know. I mean, he's a higher up. I get it. You know, he's political. They're political, whatever. But that's what you do when you go to a place that kind of, you know, if you refuse me, I would do the same thing.
But you're not the president.
I know
who
their mother.
No, I get that, Steve. But and thanks.
You know what
for,
I mean?
Thanks, no, I do. And thanks for the phone call. But the difference again is what you just said, Justin. You're not someone who is supposed to uphold a higher standard than the rest of us regular folks.
Right.
And you also don't have that kind of sway the way the president of the United States does. What am I doing? Line two.
Yeah, let's
line two. Let me grab one more, and then we'll take the break. Is this Jeff?
Yeah. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Jeff. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if she had a large party at that restaurant. She had to have had a reservation, so they had to have known she was coming in. Why didn't they refuse her then?
Absolutely agree.
That's an interesting point. No, and that's a fair point.
I think Jeff hits it on the head, and we can end the conversation there. But the idea that this possibly could have been bigger than just refusing her because of her politics, that the restaurant recognized the publicity play that they could get by refusing her.
Well, it's not impossible, marketing. But having said that, we don't know.
Yeah.
It's a conspiracy theory.
And it sounds more like the restaurant staff started the revolt once she arrived.
Right.
So maybe they didn't know she was coming in and had the reservation, and then they revolted as soon as they saw her.
Oh, by the way, she comped the meal. The owner comped the meal for the entire party. I would think she'd say thanks and leave. You know? Right. It's my move. Let's see. It's 7:21. We're back with more in a moment.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Keep coming in as we get set to talk about the Chevy here. My feeling is if you have a license to do business wherever, you ought to be responsible enough to serve, sell to any customer or client, excluding people that are incredibly annoying or violent. In 619, she felt she was making a moral stand for honesty, something this administration is not familiar with.
Well, it sounds like you said it best, Steve, that the staff was the ones that said, hey, we want to stand up. Yeah. And she's like, well, I got to do something. I don't know. I understand about moral stances and the whole bit, but we should all have the right to eat our chicken marsala.
I'm really hooked on the chicken.
I don't even know what kind of restaurant it is.
We're talking Chevy Silverado, as always, at this time. And because we are, we want you to get a little bonus. And maybe, sure, you might be saying, Steve, are you trying to bribe me to enter the contest? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Because I'm just here to help you. WGNradio.com/contest. You go there. It'll bounce you right to where you need to be to sign up to be eligible for this limited edition Centennial Blue Chevy Silverado. And here's the prize today. Family four-pack of tickets to the 11th Annual Blackhawks Convention at the Hilton, Chicago.
Best convention. Cubs convention is pretty good. But
you never get to go, right?
No,
because of Stern, your show?
Yeah, but I'm going to go this year.
Yeah. Get your convention passes and hotel guest rooms today. Book online at ChicagoBlackhawks.com. What caller?
Well, let's see. Marian Hossa was number 81, right? So 8 plus 1 is 9 divided by 3. That's going to give us 3. And then let's say how many Stanley Cups in the last we had 3.
3.
And then let's go with 9, the ninth caller. 312-981-7200. Follow the math. We'll put it online, the math.
I think we can all agree the way you determine this caller makes a lot of sense.
Show your work. Show my work online on the
I think I'm going to drive that Chevy truck this weekend.
All right, so this is the weekend. Mm-hmm. We finally have gotten through negotiations, and Leadfoot Sandberg's going to be taking the truck. Mm-hmm. Now, don't you have people in town?
I do. My brother-in-law and his wife and my two nieces and nephew will be here. And so
it'll be perfect. Fun. Take the truck out.
We're going to go to a water park, so I'll throw them in the truck.
Put some floats back there.
Put their junk in the back, you know, their thing.
That truck's big enough. You could put an above-ground pool in the back.
I know. Right.
And just sit in the pool.
Oh, that's every country music video I've ever seen.
Maybe I should bring back kids riding around in the backs of trucks. You know how we used to do that?
Yeah. Did you ever do it?
I've done it, up in northern Wisconsin and things where there's less
where you
rules.
Wouldn't get hurt. No, in the 70s, you were required to ride in the back. The kids, you just threw them in the back. And by the way, if one bounced out, there were others.
I was just on the Dan Ryan going south the other day.
Kid bounced out?
There was an old truck. It was not a Chevy, but there was just a guy sitting in the back of the bed on the expressway, like bumper to bumper. And I'm like, that's a weird thing to see in 2018.
I was behind a two men in a truck. You know, one of those moving van things, and they had the back of it open, and there was like 5 college-age guys just sitting in the back of that on the Edens.
You know, I was talking about Back to the Future. Remember when Marty skateboarded behind a bunch of different vehicles? I distinctly remember being towed on our bikes by pickup trucks. Wow. You know, pickup trucks, like somebody would grab a rope in the back, you'd start pedaling, and then it'd be really funny, like when they jerk the rope or let go. The good 70s.
Oh, the good
How did
time.
We survive, Dave? How
I
are we
don't
alive?
Know. I don't know. We somehow made it. I've noticed since we started doing this contest, I'm seeing Silverados everywhere.
Yeah, same here.
It's a beautiful truck.
It's a phenomenal really truck.
I have a scar on my knee where I did just that, Steve, being pulled behind a truck when I was 11 years old and wiped out big time. Took a giant chunk out of my knee.
And those are scars that those stories live forever because you look down and you go, oh, yeah, my knee. Yeah. I remember. There was one kid, one of our cousins, who never stopped talking. Never, ever, ever. And I remember riding and we're both getting pulled on our bikes and we're like, ha, 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 this is so great. And he's looking at me, he's talking, he's looking at me, he's talking. And before I can say, turn around, the truck stops short. Bang, right into the back of the truck.
Oh, gosh.
Now, fortunately, he hit his head because this kid could survive
it. Now, super shy.
So, yes, it was one of those.
Doesn't talk at all.
If I could just give a warning to you guys. You know, we're in the new building, and this is our second week here. And so we're still getting the lay of the land, et cetera. The bathroom that's closest to us here to the studio, it does not have any toilet paper right now.
Mm. We're out of toilet paper?
It's a bit disheveled from the weekend, I'd say.
Well, and the large women's bathroom also has one of the stall walls that fell apart.
So, Jen, I had to use the restroom, so I went to the first one, no toilet paper. So I went to the second one, which is the one you're referring to, but there's a man in there fixing it, and he's in the stage where I couldn't ask him to leave so I could use the bathroom. So I had to venture off.
So you go to the unisex and you find out there's no toilet paper.
Right. So, but then I had to go to my third option, which is the bathroom with the showers in it.
Yeah.
I had to go find that.
I don't even know where that is. I remember we got another tour. I don't even know where it is.
Well, I was going to I can give you directions now that I had to ask Marlene in our office to give me some directions.
I'm telling you right now, and I can speak for Todd Manley on this, the guy that runs this joint. We're not going to put up with these weekend animals destroying our new place.
We got spoiled at the Trip Tower because the janitorial services there are really, really tight.
Yeah, but the janitorial services have nothing to do with knocking down a wall in the bathroom.
Maybe not that, but I just realized when I was getting coffee that the garbage this morning is already overflowed.
Well, never work the mornings. Always Monday always morning like is. They don't clean on the weekends. Yeah, so there's a. And that the animals are our staff who always need to eat copious amounts of food.
Well, I just don't know. Pick up after yourself.
Yeah.
You know, centralize the...
It was in the beautiful, garbage. It was just an overflowing
garbage.
This
beautiful facility, we're not going to have it trashed. We're just not. I don't care if you're show business people. You get on your, you go to another town in your carnival.
The weekend people are the rock stars.
I have to say that I've actually eaten some of the cold pizza on Monday morning from Saturday. So I've... I've done that before and survived.
And you're alive.
And I'm alive.
The texters want to make sure I make this point. We've got about 500 of these texts. The reservation at the Red Hen was under Sarah Huckabee Sanders' husband's name. So that would be Mr. Sanders.
Right. No.
So that kind of kills the conspiracy theory part of it as well.
Yeah.
And Sarah Sanders' party allegedly had only gotten the appetizers. The meal hadn't been served, so that part was gone.
Although
that doesn't change the bottom.
Steve, I had Mark Kira on one time. We were talking about how restaurants today are doing as much research as they can to find out who's coming in the building. And even if you put it under somebody else's name, they use the internet and Google to find the connections to make sure that the customer's experience can be the best it can be.
Well, I'm telling you right now, if I have a restaurant on a Friday or Saturday night that is consistently busy, I am fully supportive of asking for your credit card or somebody asking for mine. Because if I stiff you on a Friday or Saturday night reservation, that's lost revenue for the place.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Guarantee the table and guarantee that you're going to show up. You know, I'm telling you, we're trying to fix stuff here, and the stuff that really matters, as we say on the billboards.
We went from political conversation to how to fix the reservation system in restaurants.
That's exactly right.
Good job.
And eventually a place where we can all pee. 7:33. What are we doing? Break and then, quick break. We're back with the headlines in a moment. And then the great Ryan Nobles from CNN coming up. He's got plenty to talk about on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
We get so caught up in everything that's going on in Trump world that there's extensions, things that would be huge in a normal world. We don't live in a normal world anymore. And this Harley Davidson story just popped up this morning.
Harley-Davidson announced today that they're going to move production for some of their motorcycles. They're going to move it out of the U.S. After the imposed EU tariffs, the European tariffs. So this is essentially for bikes that are being sold in Europe.
But it's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. But the idea being that the bikes that are usually sold in Europe, they would move overseas to be able to avoid the EU tariffs that have been placed on the U.S. based on the U.S. tariffs that were put on the EU.
And as you rightly pointed out to me off the air, one of the biggest corporate supporters of Trump, not just in money, but in vocal support, was
Harley. It's surprising to me that this would be the company that would be the one that would almost really contradict what the president is trying to do with the economy and trying to, I mean, his whole linchpin for the economy is to bring American jobs back to America.
Not to send them overseas.
So to lose a Heartland, a Wisconsin company, to think about everything that that means for them to make a move overseas, just part of, they're not all of Harley-Davidson. It's a curious move because it seems like this trade war is tenuous, meaning it's temporary. If it's fixed and negotiated, everything's fine. So maybe this is a tactical move by Harley-Davidson. Maybe it's a threat. Maybe it's the way that it gets the EU.
Yeah, I think it probably is. It's a corporate version of a trial balloon to some extent. But when you throw it out there, you got to be willing to do it.
It doesn't make the president look good.
Well, no, the regulatory file, I mean, this is more than a threat. I mean, they filed regulatory papers now that they're planning to do this. I mean, this is not... Hey, we might do this. They're doing it.
So it's just surprising.
Yeah,
to
but
me.
They can
it's,
back out, Steve. The point is, they are willing to say this is a plan we have. We're doing our paperwork, and we're moving ahead with this in exactly the environment, Justin, you're talking about,
right,
where you would expect ultimate support coming from Harley.
That's
another bad thing for Trump.
Yeah, the numbers on this, the tariffs jumped from 6% to 31%.
That seems high.
Yeah, a little high.
Some guy named Knuckles imposing those tariffs. And don't forget to pay the VIG. It's a minute before 8. Back with the news next on 720 WGN. Oh, you know what? We're not even going to take a break. You know what? That's how together this show is.
We don't take breaks.
No. Well, I mean, you know, you guys deserve to be on time. That's what I'm known for.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me good.
Dean Richards, live from Channel 9. How was the parade?
Oh, man, we had fun yesterday. It was a gorgeous...
Did Bozo make it?
Gorgeous day. Bozo was in full Bozo prime.
Did he have giant shoes on?
He always has giant shoes on.
What do you say about clowns with big feet?
Big socks.
That's right.
Bozo...
What a beautiful day for the parade.
Yeah, Bozo, a crowd pleaser. It's always amazing to me. We see this at every parade. Where grown adults are brought to tears seeing their childhood hero live and in person.
My favorite memory, this is a couple years back when we were doing the parade, because GNTV and GN Radio together, and there was a bus or a van that we had that they put Bozo in because it was so hot. So he had to sit in the AC. But at the back of the van is where you had the adult beverages.
Oh.
That you weren't supposed to have on a parade route, right? But you can, you know, while you're doing the staging. And it was just, they had to stop it because they were like, the image of Bozo sitting in the front seat and staff in the back filling up their rum and cokes is not an image that we...
Fair. That's fair. It's absolutely fair.
I don't recall that.
It's a good bit.
My favorite image, and I have a picture of this, it was one of those years where it was 99 degrees. It was like ridiculously hot. And, you know, Bozo's in full Bozo costume.
Yep.
There is no, you know, summer wear for Bozo.
Nope.
It's the same.
So 365.
He ducks into a shoe store, like a Payless or something like that, to get the air conditioning while we're waiting. And he takes one of, like, a little pair of women's loafers and holds them up to his gigantic shoes.
That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That same year in the parade, I have a permanent image in my head of you in a giant sun hat. And smiling from ear to ear, as you said to me, knowing, by the way, that I sometimes wonder about Dean's attraction to clowns, goes, guess who's here? And then he stepped aside, and Bozo stepped out from behind him.
That's great.
The look on your face.
Hi, Bozo.
Hey, Dean, I was wondering if you knew any of the reason behind why the GN Radio float and the GN TV float were not near each other.
They were.
They were right next to it.
They were back-to-back.
Back-to-back.
We were right behind it.
You were behind the TV?
Yeah. But I mean, they were the lead. Everyone wanted to see Dean.
Who showed up on a TV float?
All the stars.
Bozo, of course.
Bozo?
Number one amongst
you?
Them. Micah Mater. Joe Donlan did his first Chicago parade.
Oh, good.
Was completely blown away by the crowds and all the fun. Who else was on the float? Sean Lewis was on the float.
So Pat Tomasulo, I think.
Pat Tomasulo was there. Jeff Hoover. was on the float.
That was a good float. I will say this. My son Miles was with me, and he said after the parade, which is the funniest thing ever, goes, I go, how was it? Did you like it? He's like, yeah, the only thing I regret is I just couldn't muster up the bravery to go talk to Pat Tomasulo.
Oh.
Can be scary for little
kids.
He
wanted to see him because he watches the show.
Miles is far advanced in his years.
Yeah, he didn't care about Bozo. He cared about Pat Thompson.
Dean, does the bucket game change on Pride Sunday? Like, do they throw a thong in buckets or a thong in a picture of Justin Bieber or something?
They did not bring the... It's a little difficult to negotiate the bucket game with a million people.
Yeah, I suppose.
And it would encourage people to, like, launch balls at you.
Yes. Which, of course, of course, you can write your own punchline on your way to work this morning. Dean, tomorrow on this show, and I know you're going to be excited about this, when you and I are talking, Sawyer Garrity's going to be on. This is the young lady who sang Shine on CNN. She's a Marjorie Stoneman survivor from Parkland. She's an amazing young lady, and she's going to be on tomorrow with us.
I can't wait.
So that'll be good. All right, so when we come back... Jonathan Brandmeier got inducted into the, will be inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame, found out this weekend. And Cher was in Chicago.
Supposedly.
You sure that just wasn't somebody wandered off the parade route?
It could have, it very well. Honestly, I saw about 15 Cher's at the parade yesterday. If we're going with that logic, Judy Garland was also in Chicago yesterday.
That's great.
There's a Star Wars auction you might want to be a part of, and Roseanne was talking. Kind of. That's all coming up.
We'll be calling his name. Oh. Dean Richard. Entertainment editor, Channel 9.
And now back to Moron Entertainment, already in progress. Congratulations to Jonathan Brandmeier.
Johnny B.
Johnny B getting the Radio Hall of Fame. There's a producer at Channel 9 who, we've all known forever, who was a Johnny B producer for years before he got into TV. His name's Jeff Hoover.
Correct.
And Hoover's great, but Hoover will put Johnny B on your morning television show any day of the week that he can. And I'm glad to see there's finally a good reason for it.
He was among the 10 who are going to be inducted in the class of 2018. Other personalities from other cities, national radio personalities. Dr. Laura, the national radio personality, getting in. Sports Babe.
That's good.
Among the national personalities getting in. But Johnny B, back in the 1980s, dominating the airwaves for young people.
One of the all-time greats. One of the absolute all-time greats.
Yep. And also, I mean, really, you know, his loop years, but what people really point to are his WGN years.
As what? Something he shouldn't have done?
Our own Joe worked with him. Super Joe worked with Johnny B during his WGN years.
Which explains the Twitch.
WCKG, he was on WLS for a short while. I did a syndicated radio show for a short while.
You know what I love about John, and I've told Johnny this in person, because he truly is one of the greats. But right up until the last show on GN, right up through the podcasts after the last show, he always brought it. He never phoned a single show in. And you certainly can't say that about some others.
What are you looking at me for?
You're not on that list either. But I have a lot of respect for Johnny. And do we know what he's doing now? Is he doing anything?
I don't think he's doing anything.
He's driving his wife nuts. He's got to be out of the house, isn't he? Right. Can you imagine Johnny at home all the time, set sound effects up in the living room?
Right.
His wife's just trying to have a day.
Honey, what would you like for breakfast?
We're all
crazy in Chicago, man.
He's got Babe Winkleman fishing in the kitchen.
When
Man's out in the garage.
Showing up, bro.
When Pete and I worked for Steve Dahl, Steve Dahl's dad lived, they're from California, and he lived in California, and he would constantly tell Steve that he hadn't made it because Jonathan Brandmeier lived in a gated community, and Steve did not. So he would try to.
I'm sure that was a nice bit of bonding for Steve and his dad. All right, so is Cher in Chicago or not?
Cher apparently was in Chicago last night. I've been getting notes from people last night saying I was at the Cher musical, which is in previews right now at the Oriental Theater. And they were there and thought they saw Cher there. Pretty hard to miss. And I've gotten so many of these, I had yet to get a confirmation from any of the producers or the publicists or any of the official people from the show. But Steve, just moments ago...
Moments ago!
I got a photograph from somebody who was at the show last night, sent me a picture. It is unmistakably Cher at the Oriental Theater, who took in the musical for the first time.
Well, now, that's great.
The official opening for that is later on this week. So we don't know if she's going to come back to Chicago or is going to stay in Chicago or is not coming back to Chicago. But she was very definitely, at least according to this picture, was at the Oriental Theater last night.
Do you know, Dean Richards, co-host of More on Entertainment, do you know how old Cher is?
I would say she is 73.
73. Any other guesses on the show?
I will say 67.
67. Sandberg?
Oh, 78.
78,
Dave? 76. I mean, 51.
120.
72 years old.
Yeah.
Her 70. Birthday is May 20th, 1946.
Yep.
72.
Sometimes I love the city. I love the fact that we're like drive time radio, morning radio, right. And we're like, Cher was in Chicago.
That's exactly right.
It's a big deal when she sneaks into town.
Everybody's, like there's a million celebrities that come through.
Listen, Cher's here because of her play.
No, I
wonder if it's going to be one of those shows that turns out where people go and dressed as Cher now to watch the show. You know how people do that?
Like a Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're going to go
in
different
versions.
Would
that work in that show, in that theater?
At the Oriental?
I haven't seen the show yet. The shows that do their pre-Broadway run here in Chicago and then go to New York, they don't let the critics in until the very end of the run because it's a work in progress. They are literally changing it every single day, tweaking it to get it ready to go to New York. And they'll tweak it a million times even before it gets to New York, but they don't let the critics in ahead of time. There was a show, I don't remember which one, it was some big pre-Broadway show, and they don't let the critics in until the end. So I just went and bought a ticket at the beginning of the run because I wanted to see it.
Sure.
And they asked me if I would leave.
Is that right? Because they knew you were there.
I mean, they weren't kicking me out, but they said, please, you know, we really would like the show to be in its best form before you see it. We really don't want you to see it right now. I wish I could remember which show that was. But
did you then go back as a critic a few weeks later?
Yeah, I did. I respected it. So.
They bring the house lights up about 25 minutes in. By the way, Dean, you got to go.
By the way, Dean gets kicked out of the show. He's not tweeting about it.
Right.
He's, you know, he gets asked to leave. He's not tweeting about it, trying to make a big deal out of it.
I get kicked out of places all the time. It's no big deal. I'm surprised when I don't get kicked out of someplace.
And dressing like, I'll tell you, dressing like the play, the theme dressing, how awkward was that when I dressed like SpongeBob SquarePants, Dean? I think you remember.
That was weird.
Very odd.
I am right now because we're going to see the Cher show at the end of this week trying to find some fishnet hose in my size. They don't make them in husky boy sizes.
I like to go into Abercrombie and Fitch going, you got a double X in here? Star Wars, what are they selling?
Well, they had
a Millennium Falcon.
Well, at some point, I'm sure you'll be able to buy one, but they had an auction over the weekend. It's already over, so you can't participate in this. But I just found very interesting. The top-selling item was the blaster, the gun, essentially the gun that Han Solo used in Return of the Jedi. Steve, it's a wooden prop. It's not even a real... It's not even like a plastic gun that looks real. It's wooden. It's a wooden prop. It sold for $550,000.
Oh, come on.
$550,000.
That's got to stop.
A person could have bought a home, or they could have bought this blaster.
Some billionaire, I just think some billionaire European right now is like, ba-choo, ba-choo.
Exactly.
In his underwear in his hotel room, ba-choo, ba-choo.
God tells you you have too much money. And who did Roseanne talk to?
She talked to Rabbi Shmuley.
Yeah.
Do you know
Shmuley Botek?
Shmuley Botek. And,
he used to be on this show quite a bit.
He has a podcast, and I guess he's very, very good friends with Roseanne.
Mm-hmm.
So they did like a half an hour interview. And, you know, Roseanne, you can hear a little of what Roseanne is saying in her apology tour.
Go ahead, fire it.
lot of things, a loud mouth and all that stuff, but I'm not stupid, for God's sake, and I never would have wittingly called any black person a, say they are a monkey. I never would do that, and I didn't do that. And if people think that I did that, it just kills me. I didn't do that. Although they think it did, and if they do think that, I'm so sorry that I, you know, was so unclear and stupid. I'm very sorry.
But you still regret and don't excuse what you wrote?
Of course. No, I don't excuse it. I horribly regret it. Are you kidding? I've lost everything.
Yeah, I listened to the whole thing, and it doesn't excuse in any way what she does. I really feel sorry for her.
She's a mess.
She is in need of professional help.
Yes.
I mean, she's changed her story several times that she in no way meant it to. In the beginning, she was just saying it was a joke that went awry, in implying that she did know exactly what she was saying. I mean, and was just joking about it.
You know, the ridiculous thing about that excuse is you can't call another human being a monkey.
Yeah.
You know, it's an insult. It's an insult, obviously, when you're talking about black folks, but it's an insult in general.
Yeah, it's just the whole thing. When you listen to the whole thing, and Rabbi Shmuley was more than charitable to her, not really asking very challenging questions because he's her friend. I assume that's why he didn't ask very challenging questions. But one of the other things that was revealed in this interview was that before the reboot ever got on the air, ABC wanted her to kill her Twitter account because she's got such a bad history of controversial tweets. They wanted her to stop it. Her family, her children, begged her to close the Twitter account down before the show started because they had a feeling something like this was going to happen.
Yeah, it's like, oh boy, Grandpa can't control what he says anymore. Well, yeah. Be careful who you invite over. It's all bad. So the reboot is going to be shooting when?
They haven't said when it's going to start. I imagine that probably within the next week or so, because it's supposed to begin again in the fall. The Conners, basically the Roseanne show without Roseanne. Everybody else is scheduled to be back, and it's scheduled to be back Tuesday nights in the fall on ABC. Okay. So we'll see.
Texter says, missed the Harley-Davidson conversation, only heard immigration. Your agenda, besides making it look like all Trump's decisions are wrong, is for no borders. I remember when liberals like you believed that illegal aliens were bad for Americans, and Pelosi and Schumer said similar remarks. Listen, I want to make clear on something right now. I want everybody to write this down. If we didn't have any borders, we wouldn't know where Canada started. We have to have borders. All right, Dean, I've made that clear.
We have to protect ourselves from those Canadians.
That's what I'm talking about.
Pretty soon we'll have Tim Hortons coffee shops everywhere.
You know, with regards to the... I do love a Tim Hortons. It reminds me of hockey. It's always on the
boards.
That's
it.
And the thing. The Roseanne thing, it makes me think of... I wonder now, when people make mistakes, public mistakes these days... And then they're reprimanded. She lost her show. So I'd say that's a consequence, you know. Yeah, right. And so she got a punishment. And then she's sorry. Is it okay to accept her apology? Or are we still supposed to hold her to this one mistake she made? I know she has a series of mistakes. But in general, these people, I feel the same way about a lot of some of the Me Too people that, you know, did some bad things and have said they're sorry now. They've been punished. And then, like, when is it okay to... say, okay, we accept your apology and we're not going to...
Well, I think it's an important conversation to have because the time we live in now is when you F up, you've effed up for good.
Right, it's like a death sentence.
It's also the cult of celebrity in the way that this person, Roseanne, follows, not unlike the President of the United States, to say whatever they want on Twitter because the highs are high and the lows are low. I mean, Donald Trump has said whatever he wants. He keeps pushing it, looking for some response or something that might be over the line. And I think that there's a lot of celebrities that may feel the same way, that do the same thing. So it is. I mean, Roseanne's been... just think about the difference 1 month makes.
Yeah.
Before she did that, she was on top. The ratings were top. Yeah. The president was tweeting about her.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the highs and the lows. It's just the life they live too close to the sun.
I think a lot of it also is... you know, if you really walk the walk after you apologize, or whether it's just, you know, you say the words and go back to your bad behavior again.
Right.
You know, but Roseanne has been all over the board here. I mean, it's hard to take her apologies seriously. when, you know, one day she's apologizing and the next day she's back on Twitter saying incendiary things again.
And the fact is, it goes back to what you said, Dean. She needs help, and what she needs to do is say, listen, I need to take a break from all of this. I need to take a step back and look at my behavior and accept responsibility for it and not say, oh, my God, I'm sorry. Can I come back and play now?
Yeah, I'm not one to tell anybody what to do, but if it was me, I would get off social media. I would get off podcasts.
Get out of show business.
I would
business
get off of all of those things, and I would do some serious soul searching about what has motivated all of these things that have happened. Not just this one thing, but this long history of you know, things like that. And I would dress up as Cher and go to a musical.
And somebody just texted, said the wife and I saw it this weekend, and it's pretty good. Pretty good. Let's see if Dean thinks it's better than pretty good when he sees it.
There you go.
All right, buddy, I'll see you. That's Dean Richards. We're back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
How well do you actually know your White Sox?
Davidson has hit 2 home runs today.
Can you tell me who's the last Sox pitcher to win 20 games?
High and deep drive to right field, to the bridge.
Or who made the catch in Burley's Perfecto?
What a rocket shot that was.
What year did the Sox beat the Cubs in the World Series? Who played first base in 1947?
Who punched AJ in the Crosstown Classic?
What number did Harold Baines wear?
Super Joe's White Sox trivia question. Again, it's so understated.
Yeah.
It's just kind of, you know, subtle.
It's a weird Joe's White Sox trivia question correctly, and you can win White Sox tickets.
And now Joe gives us a College World Series trivia question.
Joe can ask anything you want. This is the Super Joe segment.
Something about the Oklahoma Sooners.
Doesn't even have to be about the White Sox. First correct answer at 3-2-9-8-1-70-200 is going to win tickets to the White Sox. Yeah. And it's the White Sox and the Cardinals Tuesday, July 10th at 7:10.
That's going to be a good series.
Every Monday morning between 8:30 and 9, Super Joe takes over the show. What's the question?
All right. Over the weekend, Tim Anderson celebrated his 25th birthday, and he did it in style. He hit a home run and stole a base on his birthday. Two other players in White Sox history have done this. Name one.
So on their birthday, they hit a home run and stole a base?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Isn't it amazing the level of statistics that are kept in baseball?
Yeah. That's one that wouldn't seem like it would be that rare, really. I mean, it's a good question, Joe. It's a great question.
Yeah, it's a good one.
But the amazing thing to me is somewhere there's a kid that goes, okay, my job is to go through all of baseball history and find everyone that hit a home run on their birthday.
And a stolen base.
And stole a base. Yeah.
And I was at that game. That was his birthday. I didn't say it was his birthday. Because I was dogging him. He made an error.
No, he said it was his birthday. That's what he said.
No, I know. I was dogging Tim Anderson from the bleachers.
Oh, okay.
Because he made an error on it. It was a big play. And I'm like, catch the ball. I gave him, and then the guy in front of me goes, he had a home run.
Also want to give out a shout out to Chris Kamka of NBC Sports Chicago, who I found that on Twitter. I found that stat on Twitter.
Okay. Oh, really? Okay.
From Chris.
All right.
I have a couple of suggestions, but I'm not.
312-981-7200. Suggestions on who you think does.
Yeah, I think I have an idea.
Well, being a lifetime White Sox fan,
yeah, there's a couple of guys that come to mind that would do it. But, you know, stolen bases, you could be Yvonne Calderon stealing a base and hitting a home run. You know, you don't have to be a speedster.
You know, Oscar Gamble never stole a base because of his hair? I mean, he would get halfway, you know, between first and second or second and third. And just the drag.
The wind resistance.
The drag on the fro slowed him down. He always got picked. All right. While we wait for the winner, it's time for the Lyle Eyes to the Skies again. It's one of my favorite parts of the beginning of summer. And it's coming up. Be a part of it. Joining us in studio now, Roger Leone. Roger, what's your title? Are you boss?
I guess I'd be considered boss as the chairman, yeah.
Festival chairman. And we got hot air balloons. We got great charitable proceeds here because a lot of people benefit from this. And we got great food. Mm-hmm. We got music. It's a good time.
We've got all that. Yeah, we're 100% volunteer run. So all the money that's made goes all to all the charities.
But there are some administrative costs. Am I underwriting those again this year?
You are. Okay. Unbeknownst to you, but you are.
But I'm impressed is my point. I'm impressed that you guys are able to pull that off.
Well, thank you.
The festival grounds are where?
They're in Lyle Community Park, Route 53 and Short Street. And it's a 110-acre park, which I think really makes our venue totally unique.
It is unique. It's very cool. And the balloon field will have a series of balloons this Friday morning. I think we got at least two or three, weather permitting.
Yes.
That will be tethered.
Right.
And amongst the people that are going to be going up for the first time are Justin.
Yeah.
And my brother, who's in town, he's going to go up for the first time. Pete, you want to go up in the balloon?
Yeah, Pete's going too.
I'll
speak for Pete.
Pete just said he's very busy right now. He'll be sure that
he wants to ride back from Lyle. He's going to get up in that.
I've been up a couple of times, and it's nothing but fun.
It is enjoyable, and people that do it, they always come back the next year and do it again. You know, it's a great opportunity for them to get that sensation of the elevation from the balloon. You know.
Now, are these balloon pilots local?
They come from all over the country. Most of them come from the Southwest.
Sure. We're talking about that out there, New Mexico.
New Mexico, Texas area. Some come from Michigan, some from New Jersey, but most of them are from the Southwest.
The festival continues a long storied American tradition, global tradition of watching hot air balloons. That's right. A big part of,
right.
I know in my childhood, growing up in this area, that was a thing you did. You went out on a Saturday night. How important is it for you to be a part of that tradition, to be a festival that continues the tradition of hot air balloons?
Well, we love it. We just think that it's, and again, when you talk about hot air balloons in Chicago, I think that's what makes it totally unique. And when people come out for the first time and they see this 50, 60, 70-foot balloon, it's fascinating, especially the kids. They love it.
You got a music lineup you want to mention? Bands that are playing this weekend, or just know that it's on the weekend, or just know that it's great music?
It's great music. I think Sunday we got a really good country lineup, if you like country.
Okay.
We try to stay with local artists to keep it fresh and new. And so it's good music, two sound stages, two food courts.
Lots of kid stuff.
A lot of
carnival.
We got everything for everybody.
And you guys were talking about this off the air. You said you guys really thought you made it when you had a big act in a few years ago. When was that?
Around 1982, the Fifth Dimension play.
Hello. Hello.
Wow.
And it
was, hello.
Everybody thought
Fifth
it was,
Dimension.
Right,
really got you. Got excited about that, Steve.
Right? Come on. I know, it is great music every year, and the food's tremendous, and the balloons are nothing but fun. How long have you been involved?
My wife and I have been involved roughly about 30 years behind the scenes and everything, you know, helping with setup.
Good for you.
And then in the last 10 years, a little more active doing things.
It's just so cool that the Lyle community comes together to do this and again, distribute 100% of the proceeds to local charities like the Rotary and the Kiwanis and the Lions Club and the Chamber of Commerce and the Partners for Parks and the Education Fund. It's all good. We got a website you want to mention?
Eyesoftheskies.org is our website. It's new and improved, and it's user-friendly. So if you want to see what musical acts are playing and the hours of operation, go to that site. And
we'll be out there this Friday.
Come out and see us.
This Friday morning from 6 to 10. Are you going to be out there with us?
I will be out there.
Okay.
I will.
We'll drag you on the show then to talk a little bit more about it. You know, we should probably give away some passes,
yeah,
right?
I love it.
Eyes in the Skies?
Sure.
Let's do that. Let's give away a pair of passes now. The fifth person with their own hot air balloon. No?
Right.
Not so much?
No. You can lease one. You don't have to own it. You can lease it.
Hot Air Balloons or Us?
Hot Air Balloons R Us.
That's it.
At least it from there.
Fifth caller wants to join us Friday morning, 6 till 10 a.m. The festival doesn't open that early, so it's kind of cool that you could get in with us, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you got to know somebody. You got a guy. 312-981-7200 is the number. All right, Roger, anyone else you want to say hi to?
No, just all of our patrons in the past that come out and see us and have a great time. And remember that all goes to good charities, and it's for good causes.
It's a great cause.
Right.
Thanks for the work you're doing.
Yeah,
thank you.
Appreciate you coming down. Let's take a break, come back, and get you that Sox answer in just a second.
And now, back to the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Skyline Studio on 720 WGN.
I know you're going to dig this.
Super Joe, do we have a winner? Or are we still waiting on a winner?
We are still waiting for a winner.
All right, give me that question again.
Let's see. White Sox shortstop Tim Anderson celebrated his 25th birthday in style over the weekend when he hit a home run and stole a base on the actual day. Two other players in White Sox history have accomplished this. Name one.
Shoeless Joe Jackson.
I would automatically, I would, and I might be wrong. I'm just trying to think this through, that the big base stealers in Sox history, if you think of Rudy Law as one of the guys we're talking about last week, he had 77 stolen bases in 1983.
Tim Raines.
Tim Raines is another great choice. That's a great choice because Tim Raines, but he wasn't stealing as many bases when he came to the White Sox.
Mm-hmm. And somebody guessed that. We had a caller guess that. And Scotty Pods, that is also incorrect.
Scotty Pods, if you remember, he may have in the years subsequent, but he had zero home runs the entire season of 2005, maybe one, but the point being zero home runs, and he stole all the bases for leading off for the White Sox, and he hit his one
look
home run in extra innings to beat or tie, I can't remember if it was, in the World Series.
Yeah,
remember that?
Kind of a Bucky Dent sort of moment.
Dave would know.
AJ Punschke.
That's not a bad choice either.
No, but I know who it is, and I'm...
Oh, you do know who it is.
I'm a little bit surprised.
Where are you going tonight, by the way? You're out now for the next 2 weeks?
I'm going to be out for most the next 2 weeks. I'm going overseas.
Were you called up for service, or what?
No.
Are you defending America?
No, I'm going with Steve Bertrand Travel. Mm-hmm. I'm going to fly...
That's that scam he's running out of the newsroom where he's...
That's not a scam, Steve.
No, of course it's not.
And I'll be going to Denmark and then Norway.
That's a great trip.
I'm very excited. I went to Norway for the Olympics in 1994, but I didn't get to see that much of the country. So I've always wanted to go back, and this is a great opportunity.
Remember when you spent like the first 3 days looking for the woman named Lillenhammer?
Yes.
Yeah, remember?
They explained to me, that's actually a sin.
Well, I thought her name was Lillenhammer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Turned out that was the name of the morning show on B96 there in Lillehammer.
It was. So, I listened every day.
It should be a great trip.
Yeah,
and by the way, good for Steve Bertrand, man. He has put on some amazing trips that WGN listeners have been taking all over the globe.
And I've been communicating with some of the people who are on the trip. They just rave about it. They're repeat tourers.
Tourists.
Yes.
Well, have a good time. Will you check in from over there?
By check in, could you elaborate a little bit?
Call us every 15 minutes and tell us you're okay.
Well, there's a 7-hour time difference. So when you're on the air, it's like,
yeah, it's 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah, 3 in the afternoon.
You're fine.
Yeah,
how could you possibly make that call?
I could be busy. That's all I'm saying. No, of course I will. Of course
call
I
us
will.
From your right before you take your siesta.
Dorothy's in Addison. Hey, Dorothy.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Dorothy, are you with me? Dorothy. Dorothy, hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm great, Dorothy. I have a question for you. Who else celebrated their birthday with a home run and a stolen base in White Sox history?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
Who else, other than Tim Anderson, hit a home run and stole a base on their birthday? Andrew Jones.
Who is it?
Andrew Jones?
Andrew Jones, of course. I love him.
Unbelievable. Okay. Congratulations.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. I love you, Sean.
Oh, I love you. Please tell 10 other people to join you, Dorothy. Not at the game. But
I will. I'll tell my whole family and everybody that they know, which is a gazillion people.
Keep it up, Dorothy. You're the best. That's Dorothy, who somehow knew Andrew Jones.
Did you get the other guy?
Oh, the other guy. You mean the former lead singer for The Doors,
no,
Jim Morrison?
No, it's the same name, different guy. Oh. And that Andrew Jones was not a base stealer at the stage of his career when he came to the White Sox.
He's a home run hitter.
And the other guy was never a base stealer.
Yeah, that's why it's such a tough question.
Yeah.
Nice job by you, Super Joe. You got heckled on your last question.
The lead singer
I think your
the
questions
Doors.
Have been tremendous.
Jim Morrison?
Yeah, I just let that roll off my back.
Yeah.
Especially, anything Dave says, I don't really pay attention.
Do you remember Jim Morrison?
I don't know.
No,
I don't even know where
either.
Jim Morrison was. What team did he play on?
The White Sox.
No, but what year?
Or 80s.
79.
80s?
Early 80s.
This was 79 when he did this.
These were the jerseys where they put the numbers on the legs.
Is that right? I don't even
remember that.
The shorts?
Yeah, no, not the shorts. They had the red, white, and blues. They put the numbers on the thighs. So it'd be like Thigpen would come in for a save, and it'd be like his number on the thigh. It was a weird look.
Well,
just saying.
Listen, we got a busy 9 o'clock hour. CLTV joins us now. Good morning, good morning, and good morning.
Well, this is definitely Wacker Drive. If my estimations are correct, we should be very close.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
Live from the brand new studios of 720 WGN. Dave Ennett, as previously established, is leaving us for a big cruise and a trip. Your wife's going, isn't she?
Yeah, my wife is going. My son and his wife are coming.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fabulous.
So, I'm going to miss you.
I'm going to miss you more. Come here. Give me a hug. And that is Norway and Liechtenstein.
Denmark and Norway. You really want to send me to Liechtenstein, but it's not only itinerary.
I think a lot of people are wondering what happens to Ozzy.
Ozzy will be well taken care of. He's staying home. He's going to have, we've hired a staff to take care of him.
Yes.
While we're gone.
Ozzy is Dave's houseboy. No, Ozzy is your dog.
Yes. He's my dog. He's my houseboy.
It's the Steve Cochran Show, and we continue with the lovely Stacey Sutter. Stacey, you always look fabulous. It's always great to see you. How are you, for crying out loud? You look great.
Thank you, Steve. I'm doing very well. Thanks. Thanks for having me. I love the new view, the new digs.
Isn't it nice?
Did you decorate it yourself?
I did. It's got a little touch of Steve in every corner.
I always knew you had that.
Yeah, it's sort of my deal. There's a big Cal's Angels event coming up, but for background purposes, you lost your stepson, Cal, when?
In August of 2006. So we're closing on 12 years already. It's hard to believe.
And what type of cancer?
He had acute myelogenous leukemia, which is the adult form of leukemia in a child.
As I said many times to you and to Kel's dad, you know, most people run in the opposite direction when a nightmare like that happens, the worst possible nightmare. You guys dove back in, but I think even you got to be surprised. It's a success the foundation has had, aren't you?
Absolutely, and it continues to grow, and I truly relate that to the team that we have and our volunteers and our donors that continue to support us. We always say we are different with the fact that we not only include siblings, but we also not just talk the talk, we walk the walk beside them from start to finish and beyond, which I think is something that's unique about us.
Yeah, and the siblings part of it was huge, because that was kind of the core when you started out, to make sure that the other kids aren't forgotten, because when you have a painfully sick child, or potentially a child that's terminal, the other kids, they're not the focus, because they can't be for a while. And it started out by taking care of them over the holidays and things, but it spread out in so many different ways. So what is the mission now? How many different things are you doing?
Well, we don't have enough time, Steve, but right. I can tell you the tagline is WAR, which is Wishes, Awareness, and Research.
Mm-hmm.
So we say Cal's Angels is going to war against pediatric cancer.
Which is wonderful. And a lot of it goes through which hospital?
Lurie Children's. We are
one of the best in the world.
Absolutely. We don't realize how lucky we are to have that right here in our backyard, but we are in every Chicagoland hospital.
And the research dollars you raise go to doctors doing good research right here?
Right here in our own backyard.
Right.
It's a 3-year, $525,000 trial. We're really trying to knock down some doors. And the beauty of this trial is it focuses on every single cancer, not one specific. The trial is looking at all pediatric cancers as a whole.
What do we need from insurance companies to get this? You know what I got in a conversation with over the weekend? You know Keytruda? You've seen the commercials for Keytruda. Keytruda is a miracle drug. It saved Jimmy Carter. But it's very narrow in how much the insurance companies will take care of it for a particular type of cancer. Well, now they're finding out that it works for other cancers as well. Are the insurance companies and the drug companies stepping up, or is that a constant battle?
I think it's definitely a constant battle, and research is way behind, specifically in children. We're very underfunded. It's about 4 cents of every dollar that goes towards children.
Right.
But the only way you're going to change that is by raising awareness and educating people, and because when you become more educated, you're more willing to donate. So I think that's the biggest missing link. And unfortunately, our lawmakers believe that there's not enough children dying, and I'm here to tell you one child is one too many.
Look, I've seen it on your face, and you know what it does to me whenever you get around these kids who just deserve what every other kid deserves. Grow up, have your
shot. Absolutely. They're
our future. Maximize your life.
Yes.
All right, so you got a concert coming up.
We do.
Where and when?
So it's July 14th.
July 14th.
Yes, everybody mark your calendar. That's a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
It is at the most gorgeous grounds in Oswego, Illinois. It's called Ardmore Farm and Polo Club. It's about 2 to 3 miles just west of 59.
Because yeah,
I think Oswego scares people, Steve, so I don't want anybody to be scared.
Why does Oswego
well,
scare people?
Because it's, people go, well, that's so far away. It's
oh, really?
Not so far away.
Well, and you know what? Truth be told, there was a lot of... You know, we took our time in really deciding where we wanted to have this concert. And that's a spot, if you think about it, that nobody goes out there. So
you mean, you know, as far as doing events and things?
Correct. For myself, you know, we're located out in the South Elgin, St. Charles area. Everywhere we have to go to listen to music is an hour and a half. So we thought, let's bring the concert to us.
Yeah, I know the facility you're talking about, the space you're talking about is going to be great. So who's playing?
Our headliner is Goo Goo Dolls, and opening is Gavin DeGraw.
How about that? Look at you, big shot.
Well,
start a foundation, start hanging out with the Goo Goo Dolls and Gavin DeGraw. Gavin DeGraw could not be a nicer guy.
Yes, I have heard that, and I've heard the same for Johnny Resnick, and quite honestly,
they're always great.
The reason why we dialed in on those two is they get the cause, and for me, that was huge.
Tickets, how?
calsangels.org. They are $70 for general admission, $200 for VIP, which includes some upscale food and limited drinks, but everything will be set aside for everybody to make sure they're covered. And we do have more sponsorship opportunities. We have ultra sweet tents if you wanted to bring some employees or even your friends and neighbors, coworkers.
By the way, speaking of sponsors, I am very pro giving credit where credit's due, and mention a few of the people that are helping.
Well, our presenting sponsor is Bandito Barney's, which is an awesome bar located in East Dundee, Illinois. We're so thankful for them. And also we have Vane and Laser Center of Elgin. We have Spring CM. We have Pepsi, the bubbly brand. We have Heineken. We have the most awesome David Hochberg, who I know you know very well,
Sure. Is
our stage sponsor.
Biggest Heart.
Yes, he is. And we also have this super cool thing happening with Chicago Helicopter, where you can take a helicopter right out of the city. It's a nice little 12-minute Uber ride in the sky, and you land right next to, you're actually going to land on the main polo fields right next to where the concert will be.
Oh, that's cool. That's
how
cool.
Fun is that?
Well, that's very cool.
And ride in style.
Well, wait, how do we get that ahead of time? You do it online?
That's actually, yes, you can go through calsangels.org or also through Chicago Helicopter.
Okay.
And it is, it does include your VIP ticket. It's $550 per person, an experience like no other. And the seats are limited, and they are going very fast. But what I found out over the weekend, which I thought was really amazing and something to see, is they're going to leave three helicopters there the entire evening, and then once the encore hits, they're going to fire them up. So that's, you know, I just,
nice.
How cool is that?
Rock and roll, baby.
Yes.
Any other sponsors you want to mention, by the way? Will we have the opportunity? That's a good
those
start.
Those are all my ones that get to be heard. Yes.
All right. Now, you and I have talked about this a million times over the years, and you do a big gala in the spring, the late winter, early spring, which will be coming up again. So lock your calendars in for February 23rd, 2019 right now. Go to calsangels.org all the time. But I've always said, first off, it's very difficult to say no to you because you're like your own weather system. You know, you just, there's no controlling it. But in addition to that, people get it once they get it. So how do people experience the mission so they understand it?
Well, I think, first of all, you need to go to the website, watch our video, see these faces that we continue to help, and hear the parents' testimonials. Come to the events. We have anything from this awesome glow walk we're having at King County Cougar Stadium, September 29th. Okay. This is going to be a family event. Again, so there's something for everyone, all different kinds of price points. In October, we have our ladies' luncheon, which is Give Cancer the Boot at Cantini in Winfield. Those spaces are
Terry
also...
Terry Hanley and the group out there, they're great people. At Cantini, they're tremendous folks.
Yes, and it's a beautiful facility. They're very good to us as well. And then, of course, our gala, which we do sell out in about less than a week.
It's amazing.
953 people this year. So if you...
Where are you doing it?
We like to keep our money where, you know, our community is, which is the Q Center.
Yeah, it's a great,
and
great
so
facility.
And so I think that's very important to keep right back into our own community, keeping them going as well.
You need volunteers, whether it's the holidays or any other time.
We always need volunteers, and we actually need volunteers for our concert, which you can also locate that on the website as well. But, you know, more than anything, Steve, it's all about the pediatric cancer, the awareness that this concert is going to raise, and we just hope more than anything that everybody shares what our mission is and how grossly underfunded pediatric cancer is. And the most important thing today I'd like to mention is the gold ribbon is what represents pediatric cancer. Most people do not realize that. And it's very important to know that. And September is Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month.
Well, you and I know, too, that Cal's guiding all of this and getting it done from a really good seat.
Absolutely. He had an amazing heart, and we're just trying to continue that mission along with, you know, every child that we touch.
God bless you. Anybody listening that loves somebody that's dealing with this, but you couldn't find a better organization. And if you listen to the show with any regularity, you know how many organizations I do get involved with. I may be a soft touch, but you know what a fan I am of what you guys do every day.
Thanks, Steve.
Great to see you.
Appreciate it. Great to see you.
Yeah. CalsAngels.org.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I hold it up and show my buddies like we ain't scared and our boots ain't muddy, but no one laughs. Cause there ain't nothing funny when a soldier cries. And I just wipe my eyes. I fold it up and put it in my shirt. Pick up my gun and get back to work. And it keeps me.
Well, I was telling you, if you miss any part of the show and you don't have a chance to send us a note from your mom, check out the podcast. The podcast that the staff puts up every day are great. Between Pete and Super Joe and Sandberg. And one of our favorite guests ever. I've done this for a long time. One of my favorite guests, period. General John Borling last week in studio. And we'll just play a chunk of this for you and invite you to check out the podcast. Speaking of podcasts, we should plug the download.
Yeah, download podcast is out. Check it out, WGNradio.com or where you get your podcasts. You can subscribe to the download, Justin Cochran.
Here is General John Borling on the Steve Cochran Show. Oh, and by the way, just by sake of background, 6.5 years of POW at the Hanoi Hilton in Vietnam. Remains very good, if not best friends, with John McCain. That's all you really need to know for the story. And here's a chunk from that interview.
We were cut off pretty much. We got propaganda, but we didn't get hard news. For example, I was being hurt in 1970 along with a bunch of other guys the summer of 70. Tortured is the generic word. And they were doing that so you would break so that you could go down and see a delegation and tell them how good you were being treated.
A little counterintuitive.
Yeah, a little counterintuitive. So anyway, so I was one of the... I never saw a delegation. Not that I was braver than anybody, just managed to last a little longer in these things. But I got loose and got to a desk where I was in this... They'd put you in different cells or rooms and they'd go to work on you. And they put me in this room with a desk in it. And I was able to scoot over there, get out of some of this stuff that they had me on. And it was full of letters. And I'd never had a letter. This was 1970. And I'd been down for 4 years. And I start going through all these letters. And I found one for a guy who was about three cells down that I could talk to him, you know, through the wall. And it was from his wife divorcing him. And I never told him about that, but he got that letter, and I never said who it was. And about that time, they come back in the door, and they see I'm there, and they go crazy, and they're working on me, beating on me, and they're ripping this stuff out of my hands. And the last thing they rip out of my hands is an envelope, and there's a stamp on it. And it's a man of the moon. Look, I tell that story now. I get chills right now because of that. In about a week, 10 days later, when I got back in circulation, I tapped on the wall, "We own the moon." You have no idea what that did to from a morale standpoint. There was a big movement that day in Hanoi, and that message spread. Can I tell one more postscript to the story?
Sure.
Years later, I'm fortunate to be working at the White House as a White House fellow, and it's the morning meeting in the Roosevelt Room, just steps from the Oval Office. There on the West Wing. And across from me is Harrison Schmitt, Jack Schmitt, Apollo 17.
Yep.
And I tell him the story I just told you guys and your listeners. Well, he stands up and comes around the end of the table and he starts crying. And, you know, give me the manly hug thing. Well, I'm a tough, unfeeling guy, so hell, I started crying. And now the whole, you know, the guys are saying, "What's going on?" You know, so now we had to tell the story. Now we got the whole Roosevelt Room. That afternoon, he gave me, and I have it, I should have done a show and tell for radio. He gave me a picture of him on the moon.
Wow.
With the flag, the American flag, and an Earthrise coming up over his shoulder, and an inscription, "Glad we could help."
It's just a touch of what the conversation was with General
Borling. Yeah,
it's a great
conversation.
It's just unbelievable. And Dave, you put it so well after he left. He was like a, like a kid of the week feeling on steroids, and that we all felt like lesser men around him.
But he super size.
And he talked about the poetry and writing poetry and having to. There was no way to actually. They didn't give him pen and paper, so there was a series of taps, and it's part of his book. And it was a really great conversation.
Taps on the Wall, a book you can still get if you go to SOSAmerica.org. Yep. And that's the cause that's most important to him at this stage in his life, and we hope you'll check that out as well. The headlines right now. Am I introducing this? Why not? And then what's coming up here in 10 minutes?
We're going to talk with a new web producers and a chef that's featured in a new web series over at WTTW. So that's coming up.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
On CLTV at 720 WGN, 941 now, Justin.
Steve, we've got restaurant royalty in the house. Chef Kerry Nahabedian's in here. Of course, the famed restaurant Naha, which just closed just recently, but it's going to be opening soon, which is great. A new location. Brandeel, the other restaurant as well. Chef Kerry, a tremendous, tremendous chef who has done a lot for the Chicago food community.
Well, we were just comparing recipes.
Were you?
Yeah.
That's what you're doing over
yeah,
there?
I do a peanut butter and jelly like nobody's business.
All right, great.
Yeah, I'm
crust
sorry.
On.
You leave your crust on?
Yeah. You're more of a crust on type.
Totally.
And it's an artistic, you know what it is? It's an artistic choice, and I think we can all agree we make different choices.
Gary is featured in the first, the premiere episode, the webisode of Chefs Off the Clock. It's beginning, you can find it at WTTW, coming up on Wednesday. It's 10 5-minute webisodes, which go behind the scenes with some of the city's notable chefs and restaurateurs to find out how they unwind when they're not in the kitchen. Also in studio with us today, Gail Grasso. She is a longtime Harpo employee, worked for Oprah Winfrey.
And now she's working for McDonald's because the building was taken over.
That is not true.
But let's get, where does this, Gail, I want to start with you. Where does this come from? I mean, the idea of a webisode on what chefs do outside of the kitchen.
Right. Well, we were all discussing what kind of content did we want to provide. We're all foodies. My production partner, Becky Liskum from Storybuzz Media, and Ann Flood from Edible Chicago, we're the weirdos who take pictures of our food and put them on Facebook.
Right.
So we decided, hey, let's find out what chefs do on their off time, as if they do have off time. Right. We wanted to find out how they recharge their batteries and what their passions are.
So basically, you agree with the rest of us that they're all a little crazy, so probably their off time must be a little crazy as well.
You would think so. You would think, how in the world do they find the time to do something?
Yeah, they're 12, 14-hour days, right?
If we're lucky, yeah.
Well, plus, the off time is weird time. Monday morning, you know, like their off time isn't the normal Friday, Saturday night.
Yet I'm told, Chef, that one of your favorite places to go in the world as somebody that loves adventure travel is Africa.
Yes, I think everyone needs to go because it changes your whole perspective. Another place like Alaska just changes your outlook and you feel so blessed that there are places like this left.
But am I right about this? You actually hung out with gorillas in Africa?
Yes, in Rwanda we did the gorilla trek. Pretty incredible.
Did they have something chef-wise they wanted to show you? A gorilla recipe?
I will say that they're the only, they prepare their food. Like humans do, they prepare their food. They rip up the roots, they mix the salad, they smash the bottom of roots.
You didn't see a sous chef in the mix, though, did you?
No, not at all. I didn't get any culinary ideas from the mountain gorillas in Virunga, but it certainly gives you perspective.
Your days are extremely long. The intensity that goes into running your own restaurant, let alone just being your own chef, are well documented to be that's your life. It's a full-time job. For you, is it hard to find other passions? Is it hard to have hobbies or to travel on the side when you have a profession that takes up so much of a day?
I think what you hear, no matter who the chef is that you talk to, you hear the word focus and dedication, passion, love. This is what we love to do. And certainly 9:30 in the morning on a Monday is a very interesting way to start my week. But I will say that you have to, everyone talks about balance, and I preach it a lot, which I have zero in my life. But you have to find something to offset what you're doing because you need it to create. And that's how I channel myself, is that I never count the hours in the day. I don't count the hours of the week. I just look at everything as, this is what I've chosen to do. This is my passion. I love to cook and create. And people often wonder, I don't understand how you stay this long in a kitchen, but it is like we were talking earlier. You come in the morning and you're going to have tonight, if you come in the restaurant at 6 o'clock, you're going to have the fruits of everyone in the kitchen's labor that's happening right now.
Well, it's what you love.
Yeah.
It's what you love.
It's one of those professions that as you get better and more successful and dominating what you're doing, it becomes more consuming. You know, some professions, once you reach a level, then you can back off and, you know, have other people do it for you.
The bigger you get, the more time it sucks up.
But this is gets bigger. When you got into it, where you is that what you saw it becoming?
Well, it starts off really innocently enough, and then all of a sudden, the more you grow, the more your mind wants to take in more and more, and then you just you're compelled to. I get home from work, I read, I regroup. Okay, I got to work on this project, and I feel that this is my calling, and I don't look at it as. It can be overwhelming, but I dissect it down into parts where a lot of people don't understand how you make the whole day work. Sure. But it just happens.
Well, here's the thing, too. That's what you're describing, that sort of life, is more than enough reason to get off the clock for a while and go do your thing. So, Gail, where do we see these 3 to 5 minute webisodes and the series itself?
Okay, so it launches this Wednesday. You can go to WTTW.com/chefs.
Okay.
And so Carrie's is the first one that you will see.
Who else is coming up?
We have Michael Bonner from Pederino's, Tony Priolo from Piccolo Sonio.
Oh,
I know. Carlos Gaitan from Mexique, Juan Kim from Kimski. Sarah Stegner from Prairie Grass Cafe.
Yeah. Oh, I love that's right by my house.
Yes.
So a wonderful collection. Michael, Tony, Carlos, Juan, you want to dish on any of them? Any trouble with those?
No, things? But I did learn quite a few things. Like, I'm friends with Tony. I didn't know that he was such an avid softball player. And that's another way that you channel yourself is that you find things that excite you and that really stimulate your mind because you have to open it up to keep creating every single day.
Yeah, he's a doll. You know, it is truly a passion. And he credits his wife for giving him that extra time. You know, he spends enough time with 3 restaurants, you know, away from home.
Right.
But baseball is that important. He says it makes him a better man.
You got to have a thing.
Gail,
you got everything.
How much of this is a project that pushes back on the stereotype of chefs living, as you mentioned, Chef Nahabedian, this idea of an unbalanced life? There are so many stories about addiction, terrible things that are happening when chefs have to work at such intense, stressful levels. And that's something that's well known in the community. It's well known that if you're not balanced, you can find yourself in trouble. So right away, when you have a project about what's happening outside the kitchen, that's where my brain goes. So how much of this is sort of a pushback on that concept?
Well, I think perhaps for the chefs that we're talking to, I mean, they're definitely making the effort to have that balanced life. You know, Michael Bonner is an avid bicyclist. He did it so that he would be physically healthy, and he took it to another level. I mean, he biked from here to Indianapolis to see his brother. He said, hey, I'm coming over, get the beers ready. And, you know, and so they're doing it to have that balance.
And, Gail, do you see that as a general trait with these folks, that they become obsessive about their thing, whatever their thing is?
Well, I would hate to speak.
But obsessive doesn't,
chef right
no,
here.
But obsessive doesn't have to be.
How obsessive are you?
Obsessive doesn't have to be a negative thing. Obsessive
right.
can be a positive thing.
They're experts.
You know,
they're perfectionists in a sense.
We're perfectionists. We like to, but you do have to go off the flow. You do have to, you know, for my thing, which is I love to travel and to seek out new cultures. I don't obsess about it and say that I have to go to this. I don't give myself deadlines. Like the gorilla trip, it just kind of happened.
Where do you want to go that you haven't been?
I really want to go to Easter Island, and I want to go to the South Pacific. And as a child, I thought the South Pacific would be the first place I'd go because I love everything about the ocean. And if I wasn't a chef, I would be a marine biologist. Because
that's awesome.
You want to be like Jacques Cousteau, right?
When George you're Costanza, up. All the great marine biologists.
I would love to see that. Chef, we were just talking about balance. You have your career has been so extensive here in Chicago, and you've had Naha, which has been such a gem here in Chicago for years.
Thank you.
One of the great things about you, so many people have come through the restaurant who have worked in other places. Do you have to grab sous chefs, young aspiring chefs that are coming through, and teach them about a balanced life?
It's all about finding like-minded individuals, and you want to have happy people in your kitchen. And I know it sounds so stereotypical, a happy person, but it truly is. You don't want to be part of the problem, that you want to give everyone the balance. If you're a line cook and you're just starting out and you become a chef de partie, which is as you grow, you still have a structured day. You still might be working 10, 11 hours on a Saturday, say, but you still want to be able to have those 2 days off a week for your cooks so that they can recharge. Because if all they do is work, they're not going to be happy, and it's going to show in their food.
But are you good at relaxing?
I'm good at relaxing once it happens, and I
would think that'd be one of the cooler things about this web series, that you could see, you know, these folks like you that run a million miles an hour kicking back and doing something that really gives them joy outside of the kitchen.
Right. It's great. And one of Carrie's friends, Sarah Stegner, I mean, she just amazes me. She turned 50 and she said, I am going to do something that will be creative for me so I can, you know, do something outside of the box. And she's doing Latin dance. She gets up in the morning for lessons before she goes to the restaurant.
Yeah. I love the idea that you could find Latin dance lessons at that hour of the day.
Exactly.
Well, like Sarah, she asked me, she said, do you think you could leave the restaurant one day? I want you to come see my dance recital. I said, sure. You know, you want to support your friends. It was a Saturday at 8 o'clock, and I'm saying to myself,
bad timing. Yeah.
All right, but how do I say no? So, again, you work all week so that you could leave for 2 or 3 hours. Are you leaving work? And I get there, and it was like a whole nother part of Chicago that I'd never seen before. And I'm standing there watching Sarah dance. I'm like, when did this happen? So it's the same thing. Like, you know, people ask me all the time, how many places have I visited? What's my favorite place? And who stimulate? You know, what was the process?
There's stimulation right here in town.
It's right you there. Can find it right. I said it recently in a cookbook that I can find inspiration in a gas station in Indiana. You don't have to go as far as you can go on the earth to get away. It's
Amen.
just walk to the beach.
And Gail, gas stations in Indiana, that's the follow-up to this?
Yes,
that's the follow-up. That's another thing you're working on? WTTW.com/chefsofftheclock. Is that the best place to go?
That is the place to go.
Starting Wednesday.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's cool.
Much.
I know you guys are working on a million things, but good for
and
you.
And real quick,
one.
Chef Nahabin, when should we get the new Naha news? When's that going to happen?
Soon. Very soon. We have the location, and we're...
Drive-through? Got a drive-through window?
You know.
No? Not so much?
Are you taking suggestions?
Really not helping, am I, Chef?
You know, we always take in requests, but that might be one we have to say no to.
I understand. Come in and enjoy the atmosphere and the ambiance, you knuckleheads. Chef, congratulations on the success, but also on taking the time out to do this. I think it's
Thank
cool.
Thank you so much.
All right, we're back in a moment. More on CLTV and 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Dave, have a great trip.
Thank you. Thanks.
And bring us back a souvenir.
You I'll to, do that. Yeah.
Like some lutefisk.
I don't know
some
that you
lefse.
Want that. How about, I should ask Big O, because he is...
Some cod dipped in lye.
No souvenirs. Just come back with great stories.
Okay.
How
well, that's
that?
Easy. That's
a good
easy.
Souvenir.
I can do that.
Or, what are you
going to
do
or,
with a souvenir?
Or souvenirs.
What are you going to do with a souvenir?
He wants, Justin, he wants souvenirs.
It does.
Something. I mean, you know,
lose that
truth. You're thinking of us. By the way, if you get time in that 3 o'clock window, call in.
Got it.
Bill and Wendy next.
All of us online.
Chicago.
And on demand. WGNradio.com.
Big show tomorrow. We'll see you then. But what are you guys doing today, Bill and Wendy?
Well, Dave is taking a Nordic trip, so we're going to go over his itinerary yard by yard by yard.
That seems like a solid call.
Yeah. Chef Nahabedian was just in here giving, just spitting off. You're going to be in Oslo? Go to this restaurant. Go to this restaurant. Go to this restaurant. I was like, she's like an award-winning Hall of Fame chef. And Dave's just like, blow off.
I did not. What do you mean?
Apparently, there's a place called House of Elk. H-A-U-S of Elk. Everything is elk. Yeah.
Try Olive Garden, Dave. That's always good. Have you been to Olive Garden?
They treat you like family.
It's a can't miss, you know, an unending salad bowl.
Oh, it turns out there is a TGI Fridays in every city.
There is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. I can't wait to hear all the stories, Dave.
Yep.
Dave, honestly, Dave, have a great trip.
Have a great trip, man.
Have fun.
And say hi to everybody in Liechtenstein.
Liechtenstein what?
I'm not going to Liechtenstein.
Liechtenstein? I barely knew her. See you tomorrow.